Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis. How many of you know where that book's at in the Bible? The first one? Yeah, it's always easy to find. There are two books in the Bible that are really easy to find. That's Genesis and Revelation, the beginning and the end. And, of course, unless you have some of the Bibles like one of mine have, there's so much stuff that comes after Revelation, it's still kind of hard to find with all the notes and stuff. But Genesis chapter 45, beginning with verse 8. And let me kind of back up a little bit here. And, well, let's just read the verses here. Genesis chapter 45. Beginning with verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. And for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. We're going to talk a little bit more about Joseph and his brothers in a few moments, but if you looked in your bulletin this morning, you saw a picture from a movie titled It's a Wonderful Life. How many of you have ever seen that movie? Probably everybody that's here this morning has seen that movie at some time or another. It gets played on television every year at Christmas time, multiple times generally. And it was a movie that was released in 1946. And it was about a man, George Bailey, who was considering suicide. In fact, he was getting ready to jump off the bridge when there was an intervention by his guardian angel, whose name was Clarence Oddbody. And if you remember the movie, Clarence was really kind of a bungler somewhat, and still hadn't earned his wings yet. And this was kind of Clarence's last chance, too. But Clarence shows George all the lives he has touched and the contributions he has made to his community. And interestingly enough, that this movie was considered a box office flop when it was first released. It didn't even bring in enough money to cover production costs at the time of its release. And yet it's come to be regarded as a classic and a staple of television at Christmas time around the world. Its break-even point was $6.3 million, which was approximately twice the production cost, and yet it never came close to achieving that in its initial release. Yet it's been nominated for 5 Oscars, never won any, but the film has been recognized by the American Film Institute as one of the 100 best American films ever made and placed number 1 on their list of the most inspirational American films of all times. Now think about this. You say, well, what's a movie got to do with church? But I want you to think about something here. Here was a movie that was considered a failure. And it was about a man who, at some point in his life, considered himself to be a failure. And yet this movie, which started out, and probably a lot of people thought, oh man, we're sunk because of this movie. This has not brought in the money it was supposed to bring in, and woe is me, and some of these other things that go on. Yet here it is considered to be the most inspirational film ever made in America by the American Film Institute. What a turnaround from a failure to consider being the best. Well, Some of the things that happen in this particular movie, well, let me just read you a couple of quotes. One of them was in your bulletin. Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? Did you ever stop to think how many lives you've touched? We don't always realize whose life we have touched. I know as I was growing up in church and when I first went into the ministry that there were people I went to church with. It's kind of interesting because some people talk about, well, when I was young, I went to this church and we, you know, so many of the kids and the young people I went to church with are out in the world. They're not serving God. But I look back at the group that I ran around with and the vast majority of them are still in church. And I was amazed that out of that group that I went to church with in the early 1960s, late 1950s, how many of them actually went into the ministry. One of them is the director of ethnic missions for the Assemblies of God on the West Coast. And he's a few years younger than I am. But at one time I was told by someone that he had once said that I had touched his life. I don't even know if he even remembers that at this point. But we touch lives. We cause people's lives to sometimes change from what they were going to do. Another line in the movie was, and I'll just read it as it was scripted here. This is Clarence speaking. Clarence, your brother Harry Bailey broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9. George, that's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport. Clarence, every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you were never there to save Harry. You see, George, you really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away? The impact that your life has on others. This conversation that I was reading in the book of Genesis occurs when Joseph, who at the age of about 17 years, was sold by his brothers into slavery, sold him to a caravan of traders who were on their way to Egypt. Of course, if you're familiar with the story, you know that they went back and told their father that he'd been killed by a wild beast. They dipped his coat of many colors into some animal's blood and shredded it a little bit and said, he's gone, he's dead. A wild animal must have gotten him. They lied to their father, and their father was extremely grieved by it. Joseph is on his way to slavery. Yet if you continue to read that narrative from starting in chapter 37 where they sell him into slavery, Genesis 38 through 45, you'll find out how that Joseph comes into favor, ends up in prison, comes back into favor, enters up in Pharaoh's household. And there at the age of 30, he is made second in command, second only to Pharaoh himself and all the land of Egypt. However, during this time, his father Jacob, even his brothers who had sold him, presumed him to most likely be dead. But yet Yahweh God had Joseph in the land of Egypt, had him go through some of the things he went through for a purpose. Why? Because there was going to be a famine that was going to strike the land. And Joseph was going to, under God's direction, bring about what it would take to save multitudes of lives from death by famine. You see, we all have a purpose in life. Let's play the part of George Bailey for the moment. Suppose you had never been born. Well, I can't particularly speak of your life, but let's take mine for the moment. Suppose I had never been born. Say, for example, in the late 1930s, My mother, who I understand had been engaged to someone else, broke off that engagement and married my father. Suppose that had never happened. I would have never been born. Now that sets a whole new scenario into play. Irregardless of the things that might have taken place between the date of my birth and my 25th year, I would have never met and married my wife. Because of that, my oldest daughter, Melody, would have never been born. My youngest daughter, Katrina, would never have been born. Well, because Katrina was never born, my grandchildren, Casey and Samuel, would have never been born. And none of us, not one of us, would be sitting here today in this church building, because this church would not exist because I had never been born. Think about how your life impacts people. And you can start branching off there into all sorts of other scenarios that would have happened had you never been born. It would have changed the direction, to some extent, of every person here. The Hills, for example, might not even be in Tennessee today had I never been born. Reese would have gone a different direction. All sorts of things could have changed. Lives that had been touched by them might not have ever been touched by them because of that. You say, well, you get into some really complicated things here, and you could go crazy sometimes thinking about this stuff, the what ifs. And I kind of like to sometimes think about the what ifs. You know, what if this had not happened? Do you ever stop to think about that? What if this had not happened? And I know sometimes we think about it, well, if I'd have done this differently, you know, I wouldn't be in this problem I'm in now. But do you ever get to the point where you, like George Bailey, wonder, do I really have a purpose in life? Is my being here worthwhile? I got news for you. You have a purpose in life up until the day you draw your last breath. You have a purpose. And sometimes, even when that last breath has been drawn, your life will still touch other people. That's right. It goes on. It continues. If we follow God's leading and His direction, even though we don't always understand it, our life has purpose and meaning. And just because you don't have everything that you want, how many of you have everything you want? I didn't think I'd see any hands go up on that. Because I'm sorry, I'd had to have called you down for prayer if you raised your hand for forgiveness for lying. We all want more than we have. But just because we don't have everything we want, and just because we don't necessarily have a lot of money, maybe we're even downright what the world considers poor, doesn't mean that our life is not important and that we don't have a role to play in this great stage that we call life. You know, there's a man in the Bible by the name of Job, and there's a whole long book in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about this man, Job. And Job, according to what we read, was a wealthy man. Had an abundance of wealth. He essentially seemed like could have about whatever he wanted. He had the wealth, he had the status, he had the fame. Yet, the Bible tells us that one day Satan appeared before God and God said, "Have you observed my servant Job? How he's an upright man. He's a just man." And Satan replies, "Yeah, because you've got a hedge around him and you're protecting him. If you just let me do a few things, he'd change his tune." If you're familiar with the story, you know that God allowed Satan to do certain things to Job. In fact, just about anything except take his life. And Job in chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived." It's a terrible thing that I was even born. He's feeling sorry for himself, quite honestly. "I just wish I'd never been born. The whole world would have been better off if I'd never been born." But yet, if you go on and read in chapter 38, verse 21, God gets hold of Job, does a little convicting work there. And it says, "Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great?" I have a purpose in your life. We will go through some things in our life that we don't necessarily enjoy. We go through some pain. We go through some suffering. We go through some hardships. People tell lies about us. Anybody ever had a lie told about you? I think probably everybody here has had a lie told about them of some kind or another. All these things. Be it, hang in there. Hold on to God, because there is purpose in your life. I think about, and this just occurred to me, we all know who Billy Graham is. But do we know the name of the Sunday school teacher that led him to Christ? Oh, a few people who have studied up on his life story may know that name, but most of us don't even think about that Sunday school teacher. She had a purpose in life. She fulfilled that purpose. Just as many, many years ago, 50 plus years ago, I had a Sunday school teacher that looked at me one day, even though I had been raised in church and I knew all kinds of things about the Bible, and I was put in charge of people in my Sunday school class to do certain things. But she looked at me and said, "But have you ever been saved?" She had a purpose that day to ask me that question. And it changed my life, because you see, I thought I was doing okay. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people today that have been raised in church, and they've been in church all their life. And they think because they attend church, because they're a good person, that everything's okay. Attending church will not get us to heaven. It is that personal relationship with Jesus Christ and inviting Him to come into our life and cleanse us from all that sin that's in our life, and having that relationship with Him that gets us to heaven. Now, attending church helps us along the way, and we should attend church, but church attendance alone will not get us to heaven. Being a good person by itself will not get us to heaven. I want to tell you one more story. This story has floated around the internet quite a bit. And the story as it is on the internet is not quite the facts. So I want to tell you this story this morning and try to get it as close to the facts as it really is. But how many of you heard and seen this story on the internet, the story of 57 cents? The little girl who wanted to go to Sunday school, her name was Hattie Mae Wyatt, wasn't room. She was crying. Pastor saw her, talked to her. I think he finally got her into the Sunday school class, but story goes around on the internet. There's quite a bit of other stuff, and I'm not even going to bring that in this morning, but she decided as a young child that she didn't want this to happen to any other child. So she started saving her money to help this church build a bigger building so that no one would ever have to be turned away. This little girl died a short time later. And at her funeral, her father gave the pastor the 57 pennies that she had managed to save. And he told the pastor, Dr. Conwell, what she had been saving for. And he said, Pastor, she has saved these 57 pennies for a building fund. You could build a bigger church so no one would ever have to be turned away. Well, of course, there's the stories that goes around on the internet, how this touched people's lives and donations come flooding in from all over the place. It's not quite that way. Because you see, they didn't have a building fund. They hadn't even thought of a building fund. But at a board meeting, Dr. Conwell told the church trustees about this gift of 57 pennies. The first gift toward a proposed building fund for a new church that was at some time to exist. But you see, this hadn't even been talked about. It was rarely even spoken of, as a new building was simply something that, well, maybe someday down the road in the distant future, we'll build another building. But yet, her 57 cents made a difference. Not like it goes around the story circulated on the internet. It didn't pay for the land that they built the property on. But you see, it did inspire somebody else to donate the money to buy the land. The cost of the land, I think, was $10,000, which back in those days was a lot of money. In fact, to me, $10,000 is still a lot of money. But back then, it was really a lot of money. That was almost like being a millionaire if you had $10,000. But the land was bought. Great church built. This little girl, she didn't live very long. But she had a purpose in her life. And her life reached out and touched others. She never saw it happen. She never saw any of the results from that 57 cents that she saved. Yet how many countless hundreds, maybe thousands of lives were touched and changed because of her short life. Every one of us here, with except of the children in Children's Church, have lived a whole lot longer than that little girl did. Is your life making a difference today? How much difference is making? Sometimes we need to examine in our relationship with God. But believe you me, your life is making a difference in someone else's life. And it can be for good or it can be for bad. We can sometimes influence someone to the bad if we're not careful. Our lives can make a difference. Every life here makes a difference. No matter who you are, whether you're rich or poor, young or old, skinny or not, whatever, you make a difference in the lives not only of those around you, but so many times your life reaches out and touches people that you would never have ever thought about, that you didn't even know existed. Case in point, today's bulletin. This church, which is comprised of every life of those who attend this church, this church has reached out and made the difference in the life of someone in the country of Romania, thousands of miles away, that they would then reach out and ask for prayer for someone who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I believe that through this, that God is going to speak to the Holy Spirit, to that man, and reach his life. Whether he gives his life to Jesus Christ or not, I don't know. That's up to him. But the reaching out has been done, and we have made a difference. We're not the biggest church on the block. Not the littlest one either. But we can make a difference in the lives of those that are around us. What kind of difference have you made? When you come to that point, and you have the opportunity, you may not. When you're drawing your last breaths, can you, as you go into the loving arms of God, know that you've made a difference? No, you won't know all the difference you've made. You won't know that till you get to the other side. But if you work to make a difference, you will make a difference. You're going to make a difference one way or the other, but you need to work to make a difference for good in people's lives. Does the life you live on your job show people what you as a Christian really want them to see? Or does it show them a dark side to what Christians, and I put the word quotes around that, the word Christians are. Do they see a Christian as how you exhibit yourself at work for the good or the bad, or at school, or when you're shopping, or wherever it may be? Your life makes a difference. And even though you may go through this brief span that we call life here on earth, you may never really notice, just as this young girl didn't, you may not notice what change it made in somebody's life. But believe you me, it will change somebody's life, who down the road will change somebody else's life, who will change somebody else's life, who will change somebody else's life. And how it changes it can depend upon the life that you have lived for Jesus Christ during this period of time that we spend here on planet Earth as human beings. Father, I thank you today that you have loved us so much. Father, your love and your mercy to us is just more than we even have the ability to comprehend and to understand. But Father, you love us. And help us today, Father, to also show that love that you have given us in our lives as Christians. And as we go about our daily life and our daily walk, Father, that love is shown through us. And that because of that, lives will be changed for the good. And that we don't go places and somebody looks and says, well, if that's what a Christian is, I sure don't want to be one. But Father, that when they see our life, even though we may never, ever speak a word to that person, that they will see through our life what a Christian truly should be, what it is like to be Christ-like. And their spirit would call out and say, I want what they have. Help us to live that kind of life. And Father, if there's someone, someplace today that is listening to this message, and maybe they're like George Bailey in the movie was, contemplating suicide, thinking that their life is of no value, I pray, Father, that you would reach down through the Holy Spirit right now and convict them and show them, Father, that their life can have purpose and can have meaning. Father, today I just ask that as this message goes out, that lives would be changed. People would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that they in turn would touch others. I thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.